As far as the perks go for being a Christian, it is awesome to know we have a home waiting for us in heaven. Amen, church? We have that home, and what God calls us to, the whole point of Ephesians is to walk worthy of that calling. And to understand that calling is to, it really means to walk worthy of our value. We all have intricate value in Christ. We all have intricate and awesome value in God's eyes because of what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And when we follow Christ with all of our heart, when we're baptized into him, when we decide to follow his Spirit's leading, when we give him our very best, then we know that we're walking worthy of our calling. In him, we have all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And I'm telling you, if you are not certain about heaven, if you are a little like, I believe in heaven, but I'm not quite sure for sure, please be sure, because you are following God, because you have put him on through Christ, because you have his Spirit, be sure that heaven is real. Because I'll tell you what, my mom's there right now, and my mom's waiting on me, and I can't wait to be there with her someday. But I know she would want my dad to stay here for as long as he can to do God's will and to fulfill his purposes. I know that my mom would want me here to do the same, and my brother and our wives and our children. So that's what we're going to do. And we have so many blessings through Christ in the heavenly places. How many of you guys like to travel? We've always had a sensitive clicker here. There we go. Okay, I'm going to do this number here. How many of you like to travel? I love traveling, okay? This is traveling before Donnie and Julie had kids. This is Tower Bridge in London, England. And we got to go there. We got to go to Paris. We got to do a couple of really cool bucket list trips. One of the bucket list trips I've always wanted to take is to travel to the Middle East. Now, given the current political unrest, that's going to stay on the bucket list for quite a while. I'm not in any rush to get over there, okay? Maybe things settle down, maybe when we retire, I don't know. But Paul, on his second missionary journey, went to Ephesus. It's one of many cities he visited to help build up the church of the Lord. And in Ephesus, by the way, does anybody know where Ephesus is? Current day or ancient? Where is Ephesus? Turkey. Yes, sir. Modern day Turkey, but part of ancient Greece. Okay? So as far as it being a port city, a lot of times we think of old ancient times and we think, they didn't have any fun. They had a lot of fun. They had a lot of things going on. They had a harbor area where there was a lot of trading going on. There was fine dining. There was a market. There was trinkets being sold to tourists. There was all that stuff going on 2,000 years ago as we have today. There was a gymnasium where people worked out. There was a theater where there were concerts and there were plays. And as far as the theater goes, I found out that this theater actually hosted some American bands annually, at least twice a year, up until COVID hit. So we actually had American bands having concerts in the theater in Ephesus up till March of 2020. And that may continue again, hopefully, as we exit COVID in the near future. But anyway, it's neat to know that all these things were going on in Ephesus. But there was a lot of corruption as well. As Paul writes this letter, there was a temple to the goddess Artemis. And in this temple, there was a lot of unsavory things going on. There was prostitution aplenty. There was gambling. There was other bad things going on. So what happened in the Temple of Artemis stayed in the Temple of Artemis, just like Vegas. And as far as that temple goes, that's why Paul writes his letter. As Jew and Gentile come together and leave the world and leave sin, they're now coming together as one in Christ. The purpose of this letter is that the Ephesians would walk in keeping with their calling. We find the word graced used 12 times in this book, and then in Christ 25 times in this book, and that's pretty cool to see. So we're going to take it apart verse by verse, and I just wanted to mention this really quick, the position of the believer in Christ, and we're going to look at this at the end, because as we look at verses 3 through verses 14 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, so open up your Bibles there, or open up your phone app Bibles there, you're going to find these things really coming to light. Being blessed, that the believer in Christ is chosen, that the believer in Christ is predestined, that we are redeemed as believers in Christ, as followers in Christ, we are informed, that we are made heirs, and that we are sealed. And what's the significance of all this? Well, to be blessed is to live fully for God's glory. I feel like sometimes Christians get in a rut of just going from Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday to Wednesday. And sometimes we lose the significance of really living every single day for God's glory. That we're chosen to live a holy life apart from evil. That we're predestined to live like a son or daughter of God. I'm going to get deeper into that in just a little bit with predestination. That we're redeemed to live for God and not for self anymore. I can be a very selfish person. Ask my wife. If you don't believe that I can be a selfish person, talk to Julie. Actually, don't talk to Julie. I'd rather you not do that. But I have had my selfish moments, and my wife can tell you all about that. Of course, my wife has no selfish moments, and I won't even bring that up. But as far as redeemed, it's really a commitment to living to God first and foremost. That we are informed, that we live with an eternal purpose, that we have God's word to guide us in that eternal purpose, that we're just not going through the motions as Christians, but we're really giving God our all with the information that we have, that we're made heirs to live with hope in Christ, and that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go back a slide to Ephesians 1:3. I'm going to have Alex Lancaster come on up and read this passage for us. And I'd like Alex to share with us a little bit on the blessings of being in God the Father. I have seen this couple right here, Alex and Caitlin, grow so much as they've met here at University City, as they started to date. I remember hanging out at Disney with my family and running into them at the Magic Kingdom, like really not knowing that they were there and just running into them. And I noticed them hanging out together with nobody else. I'm like, oh, are you dating? But I said that to not them, because that would be really awkward. But I said that to Julie, and Julie's like, shh, don't say anything. Don't be an embarrassment. Just smile and wave. That's it. So anyway, it was neat to see that scene unfold a few years ago, all the way up into their marriage this past year, and to see the blessings they've experienced in being in God together. Alex, if you come on up and share this verse 3 with us, and then also just share a little bit about the blessings that you and Caitlin have experienced in Christ.
So Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. And this verse really speaks to us as Christians. If you follow after God and are furthering his will and living out your Christian life, he is going to bless you, especially if you're trying to, you know, be godly and share the word. I can think back to when I was your age in undergrad, trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I'm trying to figure out, you know, what major do I want to, you know, major in? What do I want to, you know, what I want to do for the rest of my life? Many of you are probably in that situation right now, trying to figure that out. And what I did was I turned to prayer. I prayed to God. I prayed constantly, trying to, you know, have him help me figure out this decision that's going to affect you the rest of your life. And it led me to, you know, to grad school, where I was at the University of North Florida, and it led me to grad school, which kind of opened the door to the career I am in right now, which is teaching economics at Santa Fe College. I was a TA at the University of North Florida, and I really enjoyed working with students And I felt that that was my calling. That was my purpose, that God was leading me in that career path. And so I chased that career path. I went and got more education. That led me somewhere where I didn't really want to go. That was Tallahassee and Florida State University. I grew up a Gator fan. Going to Tallahassee was not what I wanted to do. But I prayed to God, and I continually prayed to God, asking him, you know, to put me in a place that I could succeed, both spiritually and professionally. And that was the place. At the time, I did not want to go. I was dreading every minute moving out there. But in hindsight, it was the best thing for me. Spiritually, I grew substantially at the church in Tallahassee. I went to Timberlane Church of Christ, a fantastic church out there. I was really able to grow spiritually a lot. Professionally, I was able to grow. I was able to get a good teaching position and get a really good experience being out there. But some things happened, and I wanted to get back closer to home, closer to my family, and again, prayer. I continually pray to God asking, you know, open a door for me. Let me be able to get back closer to home. Let me be able to get in a good position, you know, at a good institution. And one morning I was sitting at my desk in Tallahassee, and the Santa Fe College position opened up. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments when you just kind of realize that God's working in your life. This was one of those moments. I knew that this was for me, that God had opened this door. And, you know, I prayed through the whole process of interviewing, and the interview process went great. And God worked to move me back closer to home and gave me this great position. And little did I know what other blessings were going to come from it. At the same time, I was also praying that I'd find a great wife, a mate to be able to, you know, better myself and to, you know, be a better Christian. And you know, I found a great job, found my wife who, was at Gators for Christ. We both worked, to kind of help the young professional group before COVID all hit, and even into COVID. But the blessings that you receive, if you're pursuing God and his will, God's going to bless you. And if you continually pray and ask for his wisdom in the decisions that you make, you may not seem like it's the right thing, or it may not feel like it's the right thing, but God's going to take care of you, and God's going to bless you if you trust him and you continue to pursue his will.
Thanks. Thank you, Alex. And I'll tell you, those blessings come on God's timing. His timing is perfect. His timing is amazing. His timing is wonderful. I was engaged at 25 years old to the wrong girl. And I'll tell you, it would have ended up not good had I married this person. At least predictably, I don't think it would have ended up great. But God's blessings, his timing, may not always come the way you think. And sometimes you may be in a relationship and you're like, God, why did this not work out after you break up? But I'll tell you, God's got your best interests at heart. If you are following him and you are giving him your all, just watch out. His blessings are going to be amazing on his perfect timing, because then I was engaged again at age 35, and God's blessings came to fruition then. And then I didn't have my first kid till I was 45, and I hang out with a bunch of 20-something-year-olds with their little kids. And it's kind of crazy, but God's timing, I'm telling you, is always going to be perfect, and his blessings are always going to come, not always the way you think. And it's going to be great. And I'm just going to leave it like that. As far as verse 4 goes, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. We played kickball with Gators for Christ and our young adults a few times this past summer, and I was always picked last. I remember when I used to get picked first, and that was a wonderful thing. But now I get picked last. Why? Because they look at me and they go, I know he helps lead us, but he's kind of old, and he may not make it through the whole game, and he's kind of slow, and I'm not sure. I don't care if I get picked last or not. I just want to be on the winning team, okay? Just make sure I'm on that team. As far as God's choosing us, he has chosen us, and it's always first. For his son, Jesus Christ, died for us. And it's so beautiful to know that God loved us enough that he would be willing to give his one and only son to give his life for us so that we might be saved. Amen? It's an awesome and beautiful thing to know that we should be holy and blameless before him through Christ. That's how we're made holy and blameless. Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Adoption. When it comes to adoption, I can't help but think of all the foster children. We work with about 150 to 200 foster children. The number varies in Alachua County every year. We provide Christmas for them every December before you guys leave for the semester to go home. We provide Christmas gifts for every foster child in Alachua County. And the way that happens is just one person taking one gift or one family taking one or two gifts. And throughout this church family and throughout this campus ministry, we have always covered every single person every single year. Well, it may look a little bit different this year, like last year. I'm not sure if we'll get to have the party in here right now. Not so much with the COVID ramping up a little bit, but we will still get those gifts to those kids, even if it has to be a drive-through Christmas like last year. But I'll tell you, more than those Christmas presents, what those kids want more than anything is adoption. They want a family. There should be no orphan. Every kid should have a mommy and a daddy. My father was a foster child. That's what inspired that, reaching out to the foster children here, is knowing that he was inspired in Christ initially through a party at a church up in New York while he was a foster child. So that was one of the inspirations for getting that going here. But as far as our adoption, we are adopted in Christ. God wants us to know that we are his sons and his daughters, and it's a beautiful thing. In Ephesians 1, 11 and 12, it also says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. One of the things you guys are predestined to do as University of Florida students or as Santa Fe students is to graduate, okay? Unfortunately, 25% of students that start their freshman year don't reach graduation. That's University of Florida statistics. Why? Because they party too much or they flunk out or they don't take their studies seriously or for whatever reason or financial, they don't make it. But you guys started this journey. You are meant to make it. And so it's a beautiful thing when you do graduate, like our graduation party here where you get a UF jersey. For those of you that are graduating this year, is that going to happen? Hopefully. We'll see. I can't for sure say. It's not a Walmart jersey. It is a real Gator jersey with your name on it and your graduation year. But that inheritance, that adoption, it's a beautiful thing to know that we're predestined to graduate or that we're predestined to do so many good things on this earth, but we are meant to go to heaven, and that's where God wants us, on that track to heaven. Also, we're redeemed, Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. I finally found a picture of the wave that hit us in Costa Rica. You ready for this? We went to Costa Rica in 2009, 2010, and 2011 with Gators for Christ on mission trips to help build up a church that's still going strong today. And we were part of that church plant there with an old friend, Hector Cortez. And it's awesome to see that still going. And I'll tell you, in Costa Rica during free time, we had a lot of fun. We had a blast. And this is one of the ways we saw. We went to the Pacific Ocean in Costa Rica. Yeah, that's some of our group there. And when I first saw this wave, I'm from the Gulf Coast. I'm from Tampa Bay area. And when I first saw this wave, I'm like, well, this is nothing like what we experience in the Gulf Coast, where you might get a 1 foot ripple, potentially a 2 foot. If you're from the East Coast, if you're from the Atlantic side of Florida, maybe you get to experience on a very good day, a 3 foot, a 4 foot, a 5 foot, a 6 foot wave. But nothing like this ridiculousness behind me. And when I first saw this wave, I was like, let's go. We ran and we jumped in, and I had on a new pair of Oakleys. Now, I never spend money on sunglasses, but my dad had gifted these to me, and I was like, oh, thank you, Dad. He got them on a military base on sale. I was like, Dad, I will never lose these. I'm going to keep them safe. Stupid thing to bring them on a mission trip. And when I got out there, I jumped into that wave, and what was not on my face anymore? Those Oakleys. I dove down and looked, dove down, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely gone. But I'll tell you, that wave is what I think about when I think about redemption, when I think about forgiveness in God, His love, His grace, His mercy washing over my life. Redeemed, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says it like this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. Do you doubt your self-worth by looking for approval from any source that is not God? If we're looking to any other source that's not God for approval in our lives, we're looking in the wrong place. We need God as our source of approval, and we'll always feel good about that. I'm going to ask Wes Phillips to come on up to tell us more about being informed. Wes is a coach. He's coached at a couple of different high schools over the last few years. He came to us from Valdosta, Georgia. This was him with Mark Rick. He's our local Georgia Bulldog fan. I still love him anyway, except for one game a year. But Wes is going to share a little bit more on this verse, if you would read this for us, and also what it means to be informed in Christ and to inform others just as he does as a coach.
Thank you, Dunny. As Dunny said, I'm the local Bulldog. So from the Bulldogs, we have to teach you guys how to clap. Guys, this is not, I'm just joking, But thank you, Dunny, for letting me speak. And if I knew that you were going to show this picture, I definitely wore a Georgia shirt. But Ephesians 1, 8 through 10 states, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heaven and things upon earth. And what I take from this verse is that his will be known. There's been times in my life, even in my coaching career, where I was trying to figure out, like, what is God's will for me? Like, what is God's purpose and how do I find it? And over time, it just kind of hit me. You know, sometimes when I sat and meditated or sat and tried to, you know, connect with the Holy Spirit, I had to stop talking. I had to stop asking so many questions. I had to stop doing everything else and silence myself and understand that when I stop asking all these questions, when I stop with all the noise, I will be able to hear God's word. And so I give that advice to you guys. Sometimes when you're in search of something, sometimes when you're so ready to get an answer, sit in silence. Sit with the Holy Spirit so you can get that answer. And that way the will can be revealed to you. Now, as a coach, it is my job to inform my players, just like Dunny. As a minister, his job is to inform us of how we should walk and how we should talk. Well, that's the same thing that Christ has given us here in the Bible. Christ has given us an example of how to follow him and how to do certain things. Now, sometimes you will read some stories where that conversation or how that information was given was, you know, very, very, very nurturing. Very nurturing and very enlightening. And at other times, there's times where it's not. It's a strong voice. It's almost like where sometimes where you read some of these stories and people just hit the floor and they just bow down. And not to compare myself in any way to Christ, but there's times as a coach that I'm like, all right, guys, we want to do it like this. And there's other times like, all right. It's like, it's time to stop playing. It's time to get down to business. And we don't know when our time is coming, guys. So I take that same story and I apply it to you and I give it to you because, true, you want to read these stories in that same manner. You want to know that, okay, this story is enlightening. It's nurturing for me. It's going to help me to learn how I can, you know, lead others and be a light to others. But other times, I also want to make sure that I'm being stern and I'm making sure that I'm doing exactly what I need to do. If you will, in, let's see, I'm going to read a few verses, not many, but just a few. If you will turn with me in Psalms 102, chapter 102, verses 12. Psalms 102, chapter 12. And in this verse, and if you want to take notes, you just want to write down that this is where we find that Christ will abide forever. There are sometimes we run into temporary pleasures or temporary phases. Like I think right now on Instagram, it's the crate walking. My goodness. That's a phase. It's not going to last forever. But in this verse, it's reaffirming us that Christ is going to abide forever. So if you want a phase or a fad or whatever, you want something to follow, follow Christ, because it's going to be there forever. If you would turn a couple of pages over to Psalms 103 and chapter 8. 103, chapter 8. I'm sorry. Yes. Chapter 103, verse 8. Sorry about that. It reads, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in mercy." There it is again, reaffirmed. He's merciful. He will give you some of your mistakes. He will allow you to make a mistake and then reel you back in. He's slow to anger. Because there are some people on this earth that the first thing they say to you is, it's almost like they're biting off your head. So we have a Lord and Savior that will slow to anger. He's merciful. He's kind. He's forgiving. I don't know about you, but when I make a mistake, I want to be around someone like that. I want to crowd myself around other Christians that understand what it means to, okay, give him time. Give him time. And also lead me and help me do the next thing that I need to do. Our next verse that we'll read, if you will, go to Matthew 4 and 1. 4 verses 1. Let me get there too. In Matthew 4 and chapter 1, what I wanted you guys to understand is that we also have a calling on our life, and that's the Christian walk. And in our Christian walk, again, everything won't be perfect. Everything we do won't be perfectly lined up, and sometimes you will have to take a detour. And sometimes you will take guidance from someone that you may not even know that was coming. And in Matthew 4 and verse 1, we understand that it's not going to be easy. We also understand that we will be tempted and we will be tried. We understand that in Matthew 4 and chapter 1, that this is where Jesus was tempted. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." This is another one of his examples of showing that, hey, Jesus walked this earth as a human form. And that's our greatest example. If you want someone to follow, there it is. Christ was a perfect example for us to follow. He had a lot of help, and we do too. You look across this room, there's a lot of Christians in this room right here. And you want an accountability partner, find you somebody that's going to hold you to the fire. Find you somebody that's going to correct you in a manner where, okay, merciful, forgiving, slow to anger. Because some of those traits have been given to each and one of those. Almost kind of like our Christian superpowers, right? Not all of us have it, but we each have our own trait. And so find you somebody that's going to be your accountability partner. I think I have another verse. Ephesians 1, 8 through 10. Do I click? That's the only one? Oh, okay, okay. I went all the way through Ephesians 1, 8 through 10. But okay, well, again, guys, I appreciate you, Donnie, for allowing me to speak. And guys, slow to anger, merciful. Find your accountability partner. Thank you.
Thanks, Wes. I appreciate you, Wes. Thank you so much, brother. Made heirs, Ephesians 1, 10 through 12. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Wait, I'm going backwards. Here we go. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It also says in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Recently, my dad talked to my brother and I about an inheritance because my mom passed away. My dad's got a bad heart, and he says, maybe I might be here 2 or 3 more years. Max, Donnie, I want you guys to know about this. Here's all of our finances. Here's everything. And I'm looking at my dad going, Dad, I don't care about that. I want you. I really wanted mom to still be here. I know life doesn't last forever, but it is nice to know we have an inheritance sometimes that our parents leave behind for us. Now, I know for sure that we'll do good things with that, that we'll be a blessing to our family, that we'll be a blessing to others. But I also know that inheritance will not last. I won't be able to take it with me someday. My parents can't take it with them. It will not last. But I want you guys to look to the things that will last. And what is that inheritance that we have that will last forever? That inheritance is found in heaven, where my mom is right now. That inheritance is found in heaven, where we're all going to be someday. I've lost way too many friends to COVID and to other things this past year, a year and a half. It's been a very, again, rough year for our family. But I'll tell you, the one assurance that keeps me going and keeps the smile on my face is knowing that we have that inheritance in Christ and that we need to live like kingdom citizens now, when we've given him his all. And then finally, we're sealed, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. We are sealed in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. It's more than just a good conscience that we have. When we have God's Spirit living in us, as baptized believers, we are all about knowing that God's Spirit is going to lead us in the right direction every single time. I'm going to go ahead and skip over to this. This is something I saw on Instagram recently, and it really caught my attention. Dear church, a friend of mine says on Instagram, stop gathering around the name of Jesus while ignoring the ways of Jesus. We need to remember the poor, to visit the prisoner, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to welcome the stranger, to deliver the oppressed, to serve the least, and to rise for the marginalized. Jesus waits for us there. We can't just gather in the name of Jesus without being about the business of Jesus. So here's the last thing I have for you. Which of these in Christ are you most thankful for? I'm thankful for all of them. But just for discussion's sake, for the people and with the people around you, just for these last 2 minutes, we'll say, I would like you to pinpoint one of these 7 things from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed, chosen, predestined, redeemed, informed, made heirs, or being sealed. I want you to pick one of these that really stands out to you and has really made a difference in your life recently that you can discuss with the person next to you and go, you know what? God doing this for me through Jesus Christ, this makes all the difference in the world. If you would discuss one of those items with the person next to you, that's that you feel like has made the most impact on you recently? And of course, they've all made an impact, but just one of those. And if you'll take 2 minutes to discuss that with the person next to you, I'd appreciate that. Which of these in Christ are you most thankful for right now and why? Take 2 minutes with the one or two people next to you. And if you're sitting by yourself, if you'll get together with somebody else sitting by themselves in a little bit closer proximity, that'd be great. Thanks. Go ahead and take 2 minutes to do that.